If you like the Middle-Aged Man Talk podcast, consider giving us your support on Patreon. Hello and welcome to the Middle-Aged Man Talk podcast. I'm your host, Brendan.
And I'm your other host, Richard.
And tonight we are... What are we doing?
Well, we're having some beer.
We've got beer. Beer's nice. What do we have for beer? We have... What are you having first?
I'm having Bog and Barons.
Don't bang the table.
Okay.
Yeah, bang your beer and shake it. Let's see what happens.
I'm having Bog and Barons Imperial Fake Apple Ghost. So it's a strong beer.
Ghost?
Ghost.
What? Goss?
G-O-S-E.
Goss. It's from Newfoundland. Baked apple gas.
Okay.
Ghosty? Accents get weird.
Goatsy?
Ghosty? Ghosty who? Ghosty them.
I think that's a little too close to Goatsy.
Yeah, Goatsy with the beard.
That's not what Goatsy is.
What is Goatsy?
I
don't know. People always assume I know every dirty word. I don't know. I'm a good Catholic person who's not really Catholic.
You are of an age to have been on the internet when this was a... you know what two girls, one cup is?
No. I have no idea what that is. Ugh.
Well, Goatsy is...
Why can't it be like one girl and two cups?
Goatsy is of the same shock imagery...
Does it have to do with goats?
No. Has to do with a great big huge gaping arsehole.
What? What are you talking about?
Richard? Google it.
Yeah, Google it. On your work computer from the office. All right. So
I have only seen the image once, and that was because someone showed it to me. I've not stumbled across it in the wild, I'm happy to say, but apparently this was a very popular before Rickrolling became
Rickrolling? I don't know what Rickrolling is either. I don't know what things are. What is Rickrolling? Is there someone named Rick involved?
Yes, Rick Astley.
Who's that?
Never Gonna Give You Up?
Oh, yeah, okay. The guy who has like the...
The redhead and the...
I remember the 80s. Never Gonna Give You Up.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So you don't know what Rickrolling is. And you call yourself a nerd.
I don't know if I am a nerd. What's Rickrolling?
Even my mom knows what Rickrolling is.
Should I call her and ask her?
Go for it.
That would be an interesting podcast.
Rickrolling is when you put a link in a comment or something like that, and instead of the content you say it is, it's actually a link to a video of Rick Astley singing Never Gonna Give You Up.
Oh, it's like that one where you're, hey, look at this, it's a, you know, something, and then a ghost or it's a sheep bawing pops up?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
But those are the kids' versions.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, here's the thing. I don't look at garbage on the internet. I look at real information, like researching topics for this podcast.
So you didn't ever use Usenet back in the day?
I don't know what that is. Usenet?
Yes, Usenet.
That sounds like a Durabrand TV, which was real. I did buy one from Walmart and then promptly returned it.
Chat rooms?
I was aware of chat rooms, never went into them. Well, that's not literally true. I did go to a chat room once or twice in the 90s, it was full of idiots, and I never did it again. I felt like chat rooms were a bit like those party lines in the 80s. Remember party lines pre-internet? Everyone would pay money, or they'd call into these like you know phone lines, and everyone could kind of, it's like a party, but it was always a bunch of like
dudes. How the heck did you get into IT?
I don't know, it seemed like it was economically viable. So far, I've been right. And I make money doing stuff. That's how I pay for all this all these podcast snacks.
Okay.
Shall we? You want? Okay, so here's what I got for you tonight. Richard, what are we snacking on tonight?
Paleo Puffs.
You can't read while I'm drinking. The No Cheese Cheesiness. It's by Lesser Evil Brand, which is like, it looks like a grown man hipster in a teddy bear costume. Anyway, they are cheeseless cheesies.
Question.
Hold on, you can't talk while you're drinking. So these things are made of tapioca, sweet potato, nutritional yeast, coconut flour, baker's yeast, onion powder, garlic, cassava flour. Basically, it's all kinds of flours. May contain milk and eggs. Oh, it doesn't actually contain eggs and milk. It may contain because it's you know processed in the same place. So what do you think of the cheeseless cheesies?
Well, they look like blanched goose poo. Question is, why the heck do people feel the need to make, like, meatless burgers or...
Well, lactose intolerance is a thing. So
yeah, lactose intolerance is a thing, and so basically a lactose-free cheesy. But why not use puffed corn then?
I don't know.
These are arguably more processed than cheesies, which is hard to imagine.
I don't know. I actually brought you some cheesies too to balance it out. These are enriched cornmeal. These are Cheetos puffs. You know, with the Chester Cheetah white cheddar kind. Enriched cornmeal. Vegetable oil, seasoning, salt, things hard to pronounce, some kind of yeast, lactic acid, citric acid, sea salt. I mean, basically the difference is the healthy ones, the cheeseless ones, don't have as many hard to pronounce things. And there is actual whey and cheddar cheese in the actual cheese ones. And there's lactic acid in the cheddar, the Cheeto brand. So the only benefit I can really see is that you're eating processed food. And there's an argument there is less evil, because, you know, processed corn can be fairly evil. But aside from that, it's mainly, I think, just it's a taste. Because these are actually quite pleasant, aren't they? The cheeseless Cheetos.
They're missing something.
Cheese!
Yeah.
So there's the actual cheesy ones. You can try that by comparison. They're white cheddar, which is not the classic, but it's still...
Well, seeing as Mort's orange cheddar is just dyed orange anyways...
Yeah, I never quite understood how come white cheddar tastes different than, like, regular cheddar. Because the dye was an old English thing in Europe that they dyed the cheese. They knew which cheese was English cheese, so they knew how to tax it. Because imported cheese from France was taxed higher than English domestic cheese. What's funny is I have my mother-in-law is Danish. And if there's color in the cheese, that's not real cheese. They've colored it. My great-grandfather, who was, although from Canada, very British in some of his ways... It had to be colored cheese. If it wasn't actually colored, it wasn't real cheese. And it's funny how these old kind of thoughts, you know, come down through the generations.
Now, some cheeses do have some natural color.
Sure, but that's fancy. That's not pioneering.
Like some of the soft cheeses, like a Brie's got a nice kind of cream color to it.
A Brie or a Camembert. Mm-hmm. These are okay, though. I kind of like the cheeseless cheesies. All the ingredients are organic. It's Himalayan crystal salt. Ooh.
So it's dirt salt. It's salt that has been just sitting in the ground, so it's dirt salt.
Dirt salt.
Ground salt.
As opposed to sea salt, which is salt that, like, has, you know, that's where fish go to the bathroom and make love.
Yeah, well, this is just petrified fish piss.
I wouldn't call it fish piss. There might be a little bit of piss in there, but it's not all piss.
No.
You're really eloquent tonight. So, apparently back in September, this is being recorded in November 2022, France cut back, like, its short-haul flights. If you wanted to go on a short flight within France, they're like, no, get a train to help the environment. But apparently it only impacts, like, 12% of their flights, or of the short-haul flights. So, I mean, it's a step, I guess, in the right direction. I mean, I think that kind of makes sense in Europe. If you can get a train, more or less time-wise as convenient as a plane, and a plane is much more carbon footprint... Forcing people to take the train instead is a good thing?
Overall, I would say yes.
Just because you can afford to do something doesn't mean you should do something. Mm-hmm. It was like the one with I want to say it was Kylie Jenner. It was one of the Kardashian people. She flew her huge private jet. She's the one that's a billionaire from all the makeup sales.
Yep.
Anyway, she flew it from somewhere in California to somewhere else in California. It was like minutes, the flight. And it's the kind of drive you could drive in like an hour. And she, of course, has, you know, drivers and, you know, people and cars and all kinds of stuff. So instead of sitting in her car for company for an hour or so and drive where she was going within California, she, no, to the airport, private plane, very short flight. They never really got up. Got up in the air and back down to another airport. And the carbon footprint and the impact of the environment is ridiculous. It's only being done for luxury when a car would suffice.
Yeah.
A luxurious car.
It's not like, you know, they were airlifting a patient.
Oh, no. There was no, like... And the thing is, even though it's probably easier security for, like, your own private flight, you still have to go out of the way to the airport in a car. You have to get there. You have to get on. You have to wait to be cleared. Okay, now it's your turn to take off. Then you take off. Then you have to land. You have to wait to, you know, dock and and everything. So basically, with all these slowdowns of an airport, I can't imagine she saved much time. Not for such a short distance you could drive. So anyway, I think this kind of behavior by the rich people is being frowned upon. Because they're often the ones who are like, oh yeah, save the environment. I mean, you, not me, but you. Mm-hmm. You do it. I can't imagine I would even want like the bother of the effort. Go all the way to the airport and wait and get... Even if it's your own plane, it's luxurious. I could just hop in this car and like be on my phone.
It's probably a private airport, which means that... she could probably drive right, her driver could drive right onto the tarmac. She gets in.
Oh, yeah, she's not waiting around for 3 hours.
Yeah.
But still, how long does it take to drive out of the way to the airport and then out of the way from the other returning airport to get to whatever place you're going when you could feasibly just sit in a car for an hour on your phone while someone else drives? Like, it seems to me it's only being done because, like, I want to take my plane, not because it makes any sense. Because, like, even understand for, like, a rich person who's, like, a CEO. Oh, no, I have to be somewhere. I need to take a, you know, private flight or a helicopter. I got to get there quickly because of meetings, decisions. My time's worth a lot of money. You kind of rationalize that. You know, thousands of jobs depend on them making the right decisions. Fine. But, yeah, it's there's a really funny... Back to the Kardashians. My wife watches some of the video things about them, or vloggers she watches talk about them. And it was funny. Apparently it was Kim Kardashian, this particular one. She's doing the makeup, her makeup videos, you know, buy her makeup. Anyway, they have their really expensive, you know, makeup cleaning stuff, you know, like their Kardashian brand, what their brand is. Anyway, she's doing the makeup. Then to clean up her makeup to show the next makeup thing, here's how I do my makeup. To do the next one, she just uses the cheap, like, dollar store alcohol swabs. They're not like her brand. You know, she's not fully integrating all of her brand in the video. And people are like, hey, wait a minute. Those aren't your fancy, expensive cleaning stuff. But the active ingredient is always like 70% rubbing alcohol or something. Mm-hmm. So, do you want to try this weird tube I have? It's some sort of Chinese yogurt in a tube. I got it for free.
It looks like a giant suppository.
It does look like a giant suppository. Or like a really enormous tampon with a little valve at the end. Do you want to try the yogurt in a tube?
Sure, I'll try the yogurt in the tube.
It was free from the Chinese grocery. I'm like, just try one. My kids love them, she said.
It probably tastes like yogurt, but in a tube. Oh, I seem to have cracked it open. It's leaking.
Yeah, it cracks open. It was flying everywhere.
Yep, kids would love these. They're very, very sweet.
You can throw it out if you want. I won't be offended.
Oh, no, it's perfectly edible. But you're talking about waste. You know, you look at the amount of plastic used for this little tiny bit of...
yogurt. Like, what is that, 100 milliliters?
Mm-hmm.
And it's covered in this weird... It's about a hot dog-sized tube.
Yep.
Like a regular hot dog wiener size. Not a big one. Like a regular hot dog wiener size tube of...
Like a grocery store hot dog.
Like a grocery store hot dog of liquidy, or, you know, or a convenience store, of sugary, yogurty goo.
Yeah, it's like Yop.
Oh, yeah, Yop.
Except it's half as much in the thing.
And it's in a weird plastic tube.
And it's just enough and it's about the same amount of plastic as the Yop bottle. Yop bottles are also not terribly environmentally friendly.
But I thought the Yop bottle was that really recyclable material, like mm-hmm. a bleach bottle. So it's actually...
Yeah, it's very recyclable. You have to clean it out. And because it's mostly consumed by kids in school lunches. Did you know that most school recycling programs, the recyclables just go into the dumpster at the end of the day?
That's most places. No one can be bothered to actually clean them out. But why don't they have a machine to clean them out for bottles? They used to recycle glass bottles, and they would clean them out.
Glass bottles are the recycled bottles that they cleaned out and reused. So the beer bottles.
Yeah.
Wine bottles.
The Coke bottles.
The Coke bottles. They're all similar size and shape. And so they get sorted first, and then they have a conveyor system. And just the same way they sanitize them before they fill them, they clean them.
In the 1970s, once my mother got a Coke and there was a cigarette butt in the bottom, someone had put it into the Coke bottle and the cleaning process didn't get the weight of the cigarette butt out, then it got refilled.
My guess is it's someone on the line. Because in the 70s, they were probably allowed to smoke on the line, on the filling line.
Who knows how it happened, but she bought, like, it was a sealed one. It was out of the machine at university, mm-hmm. and there was a cigarette butt in the bottom.
You have to pay extra for those these days. It's like a lottery. It's like a lottery ticket.
That's right. I found a cigarette butt in mine. Twitter, YouTube, give me $1 million for trauma.
So
I was watching an interview with Bill Burr.
This is
your beer. You want to talk about beer first?
This is one of the best goose.
Gauss. I don't know why.
that I have had. It's not as salty as a lot of them. Some of them are very salty. It's very even. It's not too, it's a little bit sour, but not too sour. Very smooth.
And baked apple is like the pride and joy of Newfoundland.
Yeah, and the baked apple flavor is there, but it's not overwhelming.
Yeah, like those raspberry drinks women like that are way too sweet. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Or the daiquiri, the pre-bottled daiquiri drinks of various flavors. It's sweet and berry, and is there vodka in here? I have no idea.
Whereas a really good daiquiri is just strawberry daiquiri.
Vodka, strawberry, ice.
Just vodka and frozen
sugar,
strawberries.
Sugar, salt in the glass and the rim. Yeah, do that rim.
But it's just
fresh ingredients.
Frozen strawberries, and you blend them with the alcohol.
Yeah.
Actually, what's really good is if you substitute the vodka for Bailey's or rum. Rum's often
rum.
Used.
Or bourbon if you're in the that part of America.
Put Bailey's or Irish cream.
What's the other Irish cream liqueur like Bailey's? It's like, not Mulligan's.
There's a bunch of them.
There's another one I've had before that's like just as good as Bailey's. But I can't remember the name of it. It's good though.
Does that have Shamrock on it?
I don't remember. I don't really drink much.
Bailey's is sort of the Bacardi of Irish creams. As in?
Yeah, Bacardi rum.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it's kind of the entry-level Irish cream.
So, do we have a consensus? So, the fancy Kitty Vitty is like the main like local brewery or small brewery in Newfoundland that's been growing over the years, but it's quite wonderful. So, the Kitty Vitty baked apple beer is fantastic?
Yes, it is definitely a buy again.
So, that's a bit better than the other beer where it's, oh, these are good. This is a fantastic.
Yeah, no, this would be a...
7 out of 7 Richards agree.
No, this would be a, you know, if it was in a local...
Pub
or a local...
microbrew?
Beer store or something like that around here. It'd be one of the beers that I grab on a regular basis.
Yeah, I drove that back a third of the way across the country. And it's Canada, so that's like all of Western Europe.
Third of the way across the country, and you just made it to Ontario.
Yeah.
But then again... Ontario makes up almost a third of the width of the country. Anyways.
Yeah, it's a long drive across Ontario. I've never done it.
I've not done one end to the other. I have gone both ways from this area.
Who wants to go one end to the other? Why would you do that? It's too much. I mean, it's easy. People don't care how far driving is. They have Google Maps for that. So, the cheeseless Cheetos. Better than you thought, but not enough for you to actually shell out money to buy them.
Yeah, exactly. I don't see the point. Unless you were lactose intolerant. Though I don't know how much lactose there really is in...
Although, I think the texture of these is nicer than the texture of the other ones. The other ones are too melty in your mouth.
Yes, I agree with that I do like the texture of these. I prefer the less puffy Cheetos.
The crunchy ones?
Yes, the crunchy ones. The original ones.
The unpuffed ones.
Well, they're puffed, but they're just not as puffed as much. They're the original.
Really?
Yep. Cheezies is a Canadian invention.
Of course it is.
And the Canadian cheesies are the lumpy, crunchy ones, not the fluffy ones.
So the fluffy ones are American?
Yeah.
Oh, because they're made with corn and Americans have a lot of corn?
No, they're both made with corn. It's just that... Americans seem to like soft food or something. I don't know.
They have more hot air in America, which they put into their cheesies.
It's like, why do Americans love Wonder Bread so much?
Yeah, that is odd. And America actually has a lot of like German cultural influence from way back in their history. That's why they have like the big marching bands. That's very German. An American hot dog is really just a Frankfurter, a German Frankfurter, or a variation thereof. So there's a lot of German things. But bread in Germany is not Wonder Bread. Wanda bread?
I think this comes from the American food companies started down this road of doing...
Softer food?
No, consumer taste tests. So, you know, like the Pepsi challenge where you had Pepsi, you had your Pepsi and Coke, and they used to have the commercials when we were kids.
It was very popular in the mall in the 90s at the grocery store.
Yeah.
There was always some dope there with like, if it was the Pepsi man... The Pepsi was like perfectly cold and chilled and cracked fresh. The Coca-Cola would be like room temperature and stale. Whereas then if the Coca-Cola guy was doing it, it'd be vice versa.
But what they found was that when people are comparing two things side by side, they don't pick what they would drink the most of or eat the most of. They don't actually pick what they like, what they would actually buy. They pick what tastes better when you're comparing them. And generally, it's things are sweeter, softer, or saltier.
Oh, I see. So if I gave you, like, here's a nice piece of cake, and here's a piece of, like, dense Danish rye bread, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, the cake tastes better. But the rye bread could be lunch every day.
Yeah.
The cake is not lunch every day.
Exactly. So it's the, you know, you give someone, you know, if you, a, not what you, what the, it's a question you ask. What tastes better? You know, and you're giving them a little square or something. You try one. Ooh, that's good bread. Ooh, that's kind of sweet. That's like almost like cake. I like that.
Right. It's not like, here is a corned beef on rye, and here's a corned beef on Wunder bread, and which one do you like better? That's interesting.
Yeah, because you're not eating the whole thing. You're having a taste. So if you're sipping two drinks, like for pops, people will generally pick the sweeter ones. For two different chips, people will generally pick the saltier ones or the more flavorful ones. This is part of the reason why in the States, their chips are so flavorful.
Oh, they add more of the flavory stuff.
Because their taste test panels prove that people prefer...
Which is still a microcosm of society, because if anyone asked me to do a taste test, I would say no. Maybe no thank you, but probably no. So it's whoever is actually willing and bored.
This actually leads to a bigger problem, which is medical studies, because who do they get for volunteers for...
People who are desperate for money that can do a medical study, or students.
Almost always students. And the students are generally middle to upper class. In the States, for a long time, in the 1950s, 1960s, when they're doing a lot of these medical studies, they were white.
Right.
It's like you're looking at a very, very narrow band. And so now when they're redoing some of these studies, they're actually finding that in the general population, medicines that they did these studies on don't work as well. And some of it's actually pushed some of these medical things to a point of being within the margin of error of the study, meaning that it's actually not the result was not statistically significant.
Yeah, because that's a problem. That's a problem with them. What do you call it? Like the bias that they have, because there's a lot of inherent bias in those studies, sample bias. That's what it's called. It's sample bias. It's actually interesting, sample bias, because it can actually be quite invisible to the researcher sometimes. Dr. Thomas Selly, who is like the beekeeping research top guy from Cornell University, he did a study at one point talking about the height of wild beehives, like how high they are off the ground. And they paid people some small amount of money. If you see a beehive, call it into the university. And if there actually is a beehive there, you get, you know, whatever it was, $5, $10 at the timer. So some small amount of money. I think it was back in the 1970s, if I remember correctly. But in any case, so they went and they found all these beehives. People did it. People said, oh, I see one. There's a bee tree here, a bee tree there. But then what they realized, they're sample biased, because the beehives people see are, you know, either near the ground or up to 20 feet off the ground. The ones that are 60 feet up in a tree in the woods or higher, people don't see those. They don't call those in. So when they went and did studies on the heights of how actual high, what's the overall average, and since he's repealed those results, say, no, that's actually not correct, because now we realize the sampling was all what the average passerby saw.
Yep.
So it's, sample bias. It's a good place to end, I think.
I think so.
So you like Canadian Crunchy Cheetos better, and I like my weird cheeseless ones better.
Your weird yeast product.
Yeast.
Crunchy yeast.
Nutritional yeast. It's nutritional. It says so right in the name.
Well, all yeast is nutritional.
Yeah, and this is a lot of it. Multiple kinds.
I prefer my yeast in the bottle, in the dregs of a beer bottle.
The dregs of a beer bottle.
Or in bread.
I prefer to drink my yeast as opposed to crunch it.
Yeah. Oh, I like it in bread, too.
Bread. Anyway, thank you so much for listening.
Have a good night, everyone.
Middle-aged man talk. Thank you so much for listening. Please check us out on Patreon. Woof.